Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Big news from Quantum Helium. The company's been granted the operatorship of its Colorado project. Here to tell us what that means, it's Howard McLaughlin. Hello, Howard.
Hi, Alistair. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And how are you?
Good, thanks. Very good.
So tell us about this operatorship, a major milestone in the sense that it kind of frees you up, doesn't it? It means you've got more of a free hand at Sagebrush and you can get on with some other things.
Yeah, this was the last administrative action that the Bureau of Indian Affairs was responsible for. So they have officially granted us operatorship, and that then allows us to go about our business the way we want within the regulatory framework.
And so when you say go about your business the way you want, the next thing will be a significant round of testing, as I understand it.
Yeah, we've been planning and gearing up for the Sagebrush helium test, where we plan to test the Leadville. So we've been doing a lot of preparatory work, so we're ready to start, and we'll begin mobilizing equipment at, shortly after Easter. Where there's quite a bit of preparatory work to pull rods and tubing and cement off the existing perforations before we get down and test. So. But it'll be underway. It'll be underway starting next week.
So when you're talking about testing, what are you actually doing?
We're going to perforate two zones in the deeper Leadville section in the Sagebrush one well. The bottom zone, the first zone we're going to test is a little more speculative because, one, it's at the bottom of the hole, so you generally start at the bottom of the hole and work your way up. But if it comes in, it would add significant volume because it wasn't really considered in any of the Sproule evaluations of the volumes. It was it hadn't been DST'd like the upper zone had been, so it's going to be interesting. You know, it looks good on wireline logs, but until you actually perforate the well and start trying to flow it, you're not really sure what's going to happen. So if it does happen, it's going to be a pleasant surprise. If it doesn't happen, you know, we still have the main target to test immediately thereafter.
So you mentioned Sproule just now, Howard. I suppose it's worth emphasizing that, these aren't early stage tests by any means. There's already, an existing estimate of the amount of helium that you guys have got there. Tell us a little bit about the basis for the work that you're now doing.
Well, when we started looking at this area, I started looking at it back in 2024. It immediately became apparent that there was a well sitting out there, the Sagebrush well, that had been drilled down through the Leadville, through the prospective zone for helium, and never been tested. So that was an incredible find in a sense, because the well had already been drilled and cased. That's a $4 million well that we got for free, because we bought the production from the other wells in the project. So we then, once we got all the information, we knew that there was probably a gas analysis because there was a DST run, but it was never published anywhere. So once we got the files, we dug through them and found the gas analysis that we assumed had been run. And that showed that the composition of the inert gas was 2.76% helium. So that confirmed our view that this was a very prospective area for helium, and we had a well ready to go. So the next step after clearing various administrative hurdles was to perforate that well that hadn't been perforated before and flow test it just to see what the capability of the well is. So we knew from the DST and we knew from the seismic mapping and we knew from the petrophysics from all the wireline logs that had been run that the reservoir had the capability of flowing. And that was enough information for Sproule to do an evaluation of the resource. So we have the resource. Now we have to flow test it and convert that to a reserve, which requires a reasonable flow rate to the point where you can justify a commercial development. So it's a commerciality tick that when you go from a resource to a reserve. And after that, depending on our flow rate and the composition over time and the various tests that we're going to be running, we'll have a better idea of how we're going to build equipment and a facility around it to start to extract the helium and sell it.
So, under the terms of the operatorship which you now have, you will be able to get on with that work all the way through to production.
Yes. We still have to work within the regulatory framework of the Ute Mountain Ute Tribes and the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Bureau of Land Management. All those agencies have some degree of oversight over what we do, but that's no different than any other jurisdiction that we would operate in anywhere in the world. So it's just a matter of you put in your plans. You take care of the environmental concerns and everything else, and away you go. So we've got more or less the approval to go forward on this test now that we have operatorship. So it's just a matter of seeing what we have.
So as you progress with this testing, you mentioned, Howard, that one of the successful outcomes would be to convert resources into reserves. How long do you think that process might take under a sort of a benign scenario?
Well, once we have the data, and if we get the kind of data that we're hoping to get, good flow rates and sustained flow rates, we're going to do various 4-point tests and whatnot, staging. We'll have downhole gauges in the hole, all this kind of stuff that will give us the high quality data. And once we have that in hand, which will happen in a continuous basis during the test, we can format that and send it to Sproule, and it shouldn't take them more than a week or two to justify converting to reserves.
And all this is happening against a fairly favorable pricing backdrop, isn't it? I mean, you guys have also got some oil production. The oil price is doing pretty well, and the helium price is strong too.
Yes. It's one of those silver lining things where the price of petrol isn't good for most people, but the price of oil is good for us and other oil producers. And we've been suffering a little bit from low oil prices. We were still making money, but our margins were a bit restricted. Now, at least this last month with higher prices, we'll do much better, at least for a short period of time. I don't expect these prices to persist. Helium, on the other hand, helium is a global commodity, albeit a very small commodity, and a large part of the production comes out of Qatar. Now they've been bombed by Iran and Israel, or Iran, I suppose, and the Ras Laffan LNG facility is offline at the moment. That was 20 to 30% of the world's helium coming out of Qatar. So it's that, in time that will be repaired and production will be put back in place, but it does give consumers a bit of a wake-up call as to the sovereign risk of acquiring helium from that part of the world. So being able to supply a source of domestic helium within the United States for the burgeoning chip industry and medical industry, I think will be quite an advantage for us going forward.
Yeah, it's an interesting set of circumstances in which you guys find yourself. So tell us as we close, Howard, what's the news flow going to look like? I think you've alluded to some of it, but how do you see the next few months shaping up for quantum helium?
Well, the first, obviously, we will report, we'll give in interim reports on the test, but we're not really going to know any results until after the test and the data has been analyzed. So I would expect that to come through towards the end of April, sometime in May. But we will give, like I say, probably weekly, brief weekly updates on the progress of the test. After that, we will look at getting the Sproule reactivated, at looking at the reserve situation, and then we'll start working with the companies that we've already reached out to on facility design. They were waiting for flow rates. They need to know, in order to scale the equipment, how much raw gas we intend to flow. So that will be ongoing, and then we'll start looking at our CO2 aspect of how we handle and where we send the CO2. Right now we're favoring sending it to companies that do enhanced oil production through CO2 flooding. That seems to be the best market at the moment. We do qualify for federal credits for producing and then having the CO2 used for other purposes, or effectively sequestration. So that's a big piece of work going forward. And then, of course, we're planning to drill an offset well, either for oil or for helium or for both, which we'll start planning and getting the permitting and all that lined up. So there's a lot of activities on a number of fronts going forward. This really is the first cab off the rank, get this test underway and get some data from it.
Yeah, so lots to look forward to then. Congratulations on getting this operatorship. And for now, thanks a lot for joining us, Howard.
All right. Thanks, Alistair. Appreciate it.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.